Welcome to back to the Monday Night Wars. I'm Kev Manning along with Mr. Billy Botti.
Hello.
And this is a show where we review everything that happened in the past. It is August 18th, 1997. And you know what? This is the last Raw for 2 weeks. The fuck is going on? Did we ever find out? I didn't.
Yeah, it's got to be that dog show.
For 2 weeks.
I used to remember that. Like, you know when they say it's the longest running episode?
Yeah.
It's not. It had like loads of breaks like this.
and there was always the U.S. Open, too, for tennis. That did it, too.
That might be that, then. I don't know. Maybe it's that.
I don't know. Is the U.S. Open right coming up?
Yeah.
Oh, then it has to be that. Yeah.
I'm actually, you know what you did? You reminded me to have a look at when this U.S. Open's in, because I'm in New York at this time, and I want to watch it with Nick. So we want to go to this.
Yeah, it's in Queens, I believe, right? Flushing, Queens is where the airplanes are. They divert the airplanes during this, so there's not an interruption. But let's get to Nitro. Right off the back, they have Raven doing one of his rambling promos in the back. This is just the regular old Raven stuff, you know, as we normally see. Harlem Heat versus Vicious and Delicious. There's a DQ involved in here, and Harlem Heat win this. And I'm surprised that there's a DQ, because shouldn't this just be, you know, Harlem Heat fucking winning? They just got the new manager, all that kind of stuff. Shouldn't they just fucking, you know, get their little bit of a push?
I don't think the new manager means anything, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Just wanted to get the blacks together, so.
Mortis versus the Barbarian. Wrath shows up after this. The Barbarian wins. Wrath shows up afterwards, and then Ming shows up. So we're still on the way to having this be a match. Wrath and Mortis versus the fucking Faces of Fear. I know. That big giant storyline for a match that nobody's going to give a shit about. Bischoff is in the ring, and they say the NWO, they want their own show. Because remember 100 years ago, they won a match?
Is this the one where they could challenge for titles anytime or something?
Well, it was supposed to be they got their own talk show.
Right.
And that was part of a deal if they won a match. And it was so fucking long ago, it's been forgotten about. So, Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig and Flair are with Mean Gene. And there's more of Flair trying to get Kurt to be a horseman. I know we didn't pull this clip because this seems to be every week. It's the same damn thing. And we heard it last week, so there's no real need to hear it again. It's just the usual with, come on, be a horseman. Yeah. And I don't know, I'm a free agent. Stevie Richards, go ahead.
Did I not pull that this week, then?
No, you did not. That was last week, because it seems like it's every week. So it runs together. Yeah. It's the same fucking interview.
Yeah, I think I had three picks for this, and I think one of them is a repeat clip of something that we heard last week, but that's more main event-ish than this, so you'll see when you get there.
Stevie Richards versus Riggs. This is Stevie Richards finally gets an in-ring debut here, and he wins this match. And now it's your first clip, and there's a couple of them together, because it is Mean Gene with Double J and Deborah and Eddie. Alex Wright shows up on here and says, it's always great with Alex Wright, so you know Billy's going to pull a clip. And it's him saying he wants Deborah to manage him. And then it's followed by NWO little vignette promo for the NWO's birthday. Have a listen.
If you please. Oh, yeah.
Such a lowlife, but even though, how do you trust Jeff Jarrett and these two men are together?
Yeah, ask Dean Malenko about that.
You're not kidding.
Take a look at the U.S. Heavyweight Champion.
I'm taking a look right now at the Queen of World Championship Wrestling, the beautiful, vivacious, lovely Deborah McMichael. You know, Queen Deborah, you could have it all this Thursday night after the Clash of Champions. This man could retain the United States title as he meets Steve McMichael, we all know about him.
Oh, yeah, he's old news. We don't need to hatch old
Eddie
news.
Guerrero will be taking on Chris Jericho, an opportunity to get the Cruiserweight title.
Hey, it's where
that's
the Nitro
right.
Girl.
Hey, Alex Wright, what are you doing?
Hey, Deborah, I'm here. I'm ready to join your team. I asked you last Saturday night. You have to give me an answer. But you know what? Actually, you should be honored that I give you the opportunity to recruit me. Don't miss your chance. Don't be a loser like all the rest of those people out here. So what's your answer?
Okay, I will...
Smells like he's eating sauerbraten, but go ahead.
Alex, I will give you an answer. First of all, we all know you're good looking, yeah? And you're from Germany, and you can dance.
Yeah, I can dance.
Easy now. But, I had rather be covered in honey and stuck out in an ant bed than to give you the time of day because you do not even have a title, little man.
Whatever, little girl.
Oh.
You know, ooh. I know I'm a true champion. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go. Wait. I'm going to go next Thursday and get me a belt. And then I talk to you if I want to.
All right.
No, wait, I tell you what. I know Eddie's going to be the Cruiserweight champion because I just know it. And Jeff, of course, is going to maintain the U.S. Heavyweight Championship belt. But I tell you what, if Alex can pull off the world television title, maybe and only then will I give him the time of day.
Pull it off. Okay, thank you very much.
Thursday in Nashville.
Eddie Guerrero and Queen Deborah. Headed to the ring. Tony, back to you.
And they're going to be in our next tag team match along with Queen Deborah. She's apparently recruiting people, but they got to have title belts around their waist.
Well, Eddie Guerrero, now he doesn't have a title belt.
But she says he will when he faces Chris Jericho for the Cruiserweight title. Coming up Thursday night live, the Clash of the Champions. Their opponents will come out and we'll come back next.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
We have just have a little horn.
Okay, that was and that wasn't our audio being fucked up, by the way. That's a fucking the sparklers that they're using. It just sounds like the audio is completely fucked up because the sparklers are popping the entire time with the NWO. Nash is funny, screaming my retina in the background with the sparklers going off. I enjoyed this Alex Wright trying to be clever and being awful.
This is so funny. He come out asking her to join him, and then he leaves it by saying, "I'll join you if I want to," when she's not asking.
I'll fuck you if I want.
And then I leave the commentary there. Because the announcers are turning around and pointing out all the loopholes in what she's saying in terms of she doesn't want him because he's a loser, but Eddie hasn't got a belt. But they say, and then he goes, but Eddie's got a title match. And Alex Wright has just said that he's got the title match too. So he's in no different position at all, which they don't talk around. Instead, they argue amongst themselves about the dumbness of it.
And, She calls him little boy, so he's like, "Hey, little girl," and fucking, it's just fucking bad. It's just bad altogether.
You know when we say like, "Oh, the scripted promos ruin stuff."
Yeah,
it's like this is probably why they have them.
Yeah, I would think certain people. Yeah, certain people should be told you have to have it, and then. But you imagine how many would be insulted and be like, "Oh, they only make slobs have scripted promos, and I'm one of them." Benoit and Mongo versus Jeff Jarrett and Eddie Guerrero. The crowd is fucking hot to the touch during this. They were fucking screaming and yelling when Mongo was in there and shit like that. So they were out for blood. Benoit and Mongo win this match. And then we get a review of Sting from last week with J.J. Dillon. The Outsiders get in the ring, and then it turns into Six versus Flair. NWO, of course, show up during this match, and it's a DQ. Mr. Perfect shows up to help. You know what? I'm not even going to try to correct myself when I say Mr. Perfect. He's going to be Mr. Perfect. It's always going to be. I even write down in my book his name, Mr. P. So Flair wins this because NWO shows up, of course, and it's always DQ. J.J. Dillon and Nick Patrick are with Mean Gene, and they say Patrick is cleared from what happened at the pay-per-view because he's been accused again of being on the side of the bad guys. But he calls out the other referee, Anderson, and says, well, look what he fucking did. He tries to divert shit. So I'm like, oh, are they going to have a referee match now?
Oh, I swear they've done this story.
They like, did.
They did this, and they're like doing it like again.
Yeah, I thought they did it almost like last week.
And the refs are so bad as well. Like especially you know, that southerner comes out, Anderson, and he's like y'all.
I just could never stand Nick Patrick. He'd get punched, and his acting was so, like he'd throw his hands up in the air like it's a fucking cartoon. Punched in the face, and his hands would go up in the air, and he would fall over. I was like, how is that a fucking... When have you ever seen someone get punched and their hands go up in the air?
This is definitely like the hillbilly organization compared to, of the two.
Oh.
With the bikers and these southern...
NASCAR.
Yeah.
All that. So we get the Ultimate Dragon with the TV title versus La Parca. Dragon wins that. And you get the Giant versus Mr. Perfect. Mr. Perfect wins because Bischoff shows up during this and distracts the Giant and says, you got to go, you have to be 50 feet from me, which is fucking dopey. So I could violate a restraining order and chase down people I have a restraining order
against.
Yeah,
it's not the law, yeah.
Yeah. And so Zabisco gets out and involved, and it becomes a count out because... Giant's like, fuck this noise. I'm going to go fucking kill you. I don't give a shit. Next clip for you is J.J. Dillon and Mean Gene. And let's play this and we'll talk about it afterwards because I want to fucking kill myself when J.J. Dillon's
Mr. J.J. Dillon, we are in front of a capacity crowd here tonight in Birmingham, Alabama. Millions, of course, across the country watching this television program. J.J. Dillon, you have literally laid it all out on the table for an individual by the name of Sting in the past couple of weeks, yet no response from this individual.
Gene, for the last 2 weeks, I came out here with a contract in hand in hopes of being able to confront Sting, to make him a bona fide offer to get him back in the ring with WCW. And on both occasions, to my embarrassment, I came out here, I was able to confront him, but there was absolutely no dialogue between us. And what I saw was him rip up the contracts and hand it back to me.
It's kind of an insult.
Now, there's already been too much distrust between WCW management and Sting. And I think I should point out to our viewers and maybe to Sting himself, I have been one of his strongest supporters up to this point. Because I publicly a couple weeks ago said that, in my opinion, Sting's recent actions showed that he was solidly behind WCW. But Gene, after what happened these last 2 weeks, in all honesty, I'm starting to second guess myself. Now, I'll be honest with you, Gene, I don't have a new contract offer with me tonight. And to be honest with you, my patience, our patience, is really starting to wear thin. And I think it's time that Sting bridge that communication gap and take the initiative that exists between us. And I think it's time for him to step up to the plate and start to tell us what it is he wants. And if he can't do that, then we may get ourselves boxed into a situation where we may have to go our separate ways, and if that's the way it plays out, then so be it.
You've actually handed out a bit of an ultimatum here to Sting.
Well, I don't want to call it an ultimatum because I always think positive, and if there's a way to work this out, I want to know that I gave it every chance. So I've bought Sting some time. Sting, if you can hear me, you have between right now and this Thursday, August 21st, the night of the Clash of the Champions on TBS from Nashville, to come forward and to talk to me and tell me what it is you want.
Well, I see it as an ultimatum. 72 hours from now at the Clash of Champions, either you get an answer or it's all over.
Gene, I'm not a mind reader. I don't have a crystal ball. Sting, you gotta talk.
From the reaction of this crowd back there, guys, I get the impression that somebody, where is he? Where? I can't see him.
Yeah, he's in a sea of people. The same people who've been
cheering. Oh, there he is.
Hogan's Gene.
I wonder if we can get some kind of an answer from Sting.
Maybe we won't have to wait till Thursday. Maybe we'll get our answer tonight, Gene. Start talking at some point.
We have been getting the silent treatment thus far. What in the world does this man want? He's got to let us know between now and this Thursday night. You have got to tell us, Sting, what you want. It won't go on any longer.
It can't.
Hogan didn't make any of those signs.
Sting! Sting! Don't give us the silent treatment. Give us an answer.
Just listen and look, for goodness sakes.
Adios.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Gene, he's got till Thursday. I want him to start talking.
We may not have to wait till Thursday, like you said earlier.
Has been paid for by the New World Order.
In 3, 2, 1. Hey, everybody's talking about the new Six shirt.
Better buy them now because when they're gone, they're gone.
Get your NWO Six t-shirt for only $20. Just call 1-800-NWO-0242.
NWO on the front, world famous Six Pack on the back. I dare you to buy the shirt.
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
Don't think we won't invite you to the party, JJ, just because you're WCW. In fact, you're the guest of honor.
Just say it's the first year, and it ain't the last year, so come on, party with us.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
WCW, suck up. Want to get a macho?
Macho.
High into the right.
Somebody pushed me. I did not fall down.
One, two, three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baby.
What'd you say?
Why are we always in such rancid conditions every time we throw a party?
I gotta spin you, man. It's no fun.
Uno.
Spin the tail on the donkey.
Slash?
I did.
I need another.
I've
really had a family, and you guys are really the only family I ever had.
It's your party, and you can cry if you want to.
That's how I feel about the WCW.
still around. Go, Devin. Go, Devin.
We're coming to the Clash party NWO style.
So you had a couple NWO commercials after what we heard with Sting. And they don't know who Sting wants yet. The entire crowd knows, and Dylan's like, what's going on? I don't know. And Sting's dragging him around the ring, pointing at signs.
Yeah. And then the commentators even know. And then they have to explain it afterwards. I mean, there's going to be another clip now. But they still have to explain the fact that JJ wants him to tell him. As in, he's saying, I know, but you have to speak before you say it. Although that's not conveyed by JJ's actions. He's just kind of making retarded. Out that, yeah, he's just kind of playing a retard.
Yeah, and you would think in real life then too, Sting would be like, I fucking had it with this, and get the microphone and go, I want Hogan. Drop the fucking microphone and walk. It's that simple to fucking do. But they don't.
He has a sign that says Hulk versus Sting, though, doesn't he?
He went and took it from somebody in the crowd. it's like, but you haven't said it yet. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what that sign means. What does it mean, like Hogan versus Sting?
that we don't know what that's what Sting wants.
Yeah.
DDP and Lex versus the Outsiders for the tag titles. Of course, this is the era of everybody interfering and nothing ever happens. So NWO show up, WCW show up, and it fucking stops. Here's your last clip for Nitro, and it's Tony Schiavone talking about Sting, and then Heenan bringing up Sting and bringing up getting some ass.
Now we understand this one is for the belt. The World Tag Team Championship, so the Steiners, obvious number one contender, but Luger and DDP could walk away with a World Tag Team Championship here tonight live on WCW Monday Nitro. Well, Mike, today, back to Brian Heenan before the break. Today, you first. I was talking about trying to rationalize what was going through the mind of James J. Dillon here. What do you think?
Well, I don't think J.J. Dillon needs a roadmap. I think it's very obvious, but we also noticed that he was walking a very fine line. He's worried about using words like ultimatum.
For life.
But he did tell Sting that he has 72 hours to respond. Does that mean that Sting talks this Thursday on The Clash on TBS?
Well, it looks to me like Sting's going to have to say something. That's what J.J. Dillon and the committee wants. I mean, millions and millions of people over the world have said Hogan. Sting goes down the floor and finds a banner somebody made a poster that says Sting versus Hogan. I mean, he shows J.J. Dillon, but he wants to hear the words. Thursday night, something big will happen.
We have not heard Sting talk in a year now. And Thursday night, the Clash of the Champion. And I would think, you never know where or when Sting's going to show up.
For life.
But I would hope to think that Sting would answer the call at the Clash of the Champions Thursday night and finally say Hogan's name.
That's the deadline.
Hey, if you want him that bad, open your mouth and let the world know it.
Good point, Brain. And
I want those Nitro dancers. I'll say it. I'd like to go to a party with them. I'm saying it right out to everybody. Yes, I'd like to go to a party with Nitro dancers.
Stop it.
I'm sorry.
Let's get to the match here.
See, Heenan makes his plans known. He would like to have some ass from the Nitro Dancers.
Yeah, they're trying to cover the storyline here by saying, how easy it is to say what you want. I'll tell you what I want. You tell you what I want. It's just all a cover-up for JJ not knowing what Sting wants from being able to read the sign which says what Sting wants.
What is worse than that, though, to me? Is Ravishing
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome one of the all-time World Wrestling Federation greats, Ravishing Rick Rude!
Ravishing Rick Rude on his way to the ring. Everyone, Jerry King Waller here.
like to have right now is for all you fat, out of shape Atlantic City sweat hogs.
There's two of
them
right there.
Open your lips, open your eyes, and pay attention to what a real man has to say.
Well, Mr. Rude, I wonder if we can take you back to last week, if you don't mind. Seems to me the more things change, the more they stay the same to a certain extent. We saw you last week, however, in somewhat of a different capacity here in the World Wrestling Federation. It was as if you were acting as an insurance policy or something of that sort. Would you care to elaborate?
What I am, McMahon, is an insurance salesman, whether it be short-term, long-term, life, disability, or accidental. You supply the buck. I supply the bang.
Well, you certainly supplied the bang last week as relates to Mankind. And I wonder if you'd care to let us in on who your benefactor is or was. Just who paid that premium last week? Was it Shawn Michaels? Was it Hunter Hearst Helmsley? Who paid the premium?
That's something you don't need to know, McMahon. Let's just say I was paid a handsome sum to get a job done. Because I am the Guardian Shield. You supply the money. Rick Rude supplies the muscle. You know, McMahon, you can never have enough insurance. As a matter of fact, it looks like you might need a little more yourself.
Oh, well, that might be true, but I wonder if some other WWF superstar might be in need of some insurance tonight.
Let's just put it this way. Like a good neighbor, Rick Rude's always there.
I say, Mr. Rude, surely you would be here for someone else who could use your services than here tonight. Am I correct?
What I'm trying to tell you is that if you're wise, you'll look to own a piece of the Rude. If you want to be in good hands, get Rude. It pays.
I can imagine it does. But let's face it, what we're talking about here is one of the oldest rackets in the world, right? We're talking about the protection racket, right? Protection?
Get it through your thick skull, McMahon. What I'm trying to tell you is to get the premium, you've got to pay the premium. And once that premium's been paid in full, somebody's in for a rude awakening. Hit the music!
Well, I'm not sure we answered all the questions.
Ravishing Rick Rude!
We thought we would, but certainly Ravishing Rick Rude is in the building. And Keith has to make some folks feel a little bit uncomfortable. Well, I would think that it would make some folks feel very comfortable. He's insured, like he said. You're in good hands with Rick Rude. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are going to share with you an exclusive interview that have the opportunity to conduct.
It's funny because you hear it's like so fucking loud because they have to drown out the real music that's going on in the background. So I don't know. I've looked it up and tried to figure out why they can't use this because it is a Jim Johnson fucking music. So I don't know why this music is not allowed.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I don't understand either.
And it's bad because Rick Rude had some of the best music ever.
I mean, his verse music's just, you know, the porno rude music, but it's at least you associate with him. Why would you give him a dub over, which is even more porno and cheesy, and then you just think that's not his music? And also, like, why did he come back with the old music anyway when his character's doing a bodyguard gimmick? Why didn't you just give him new music?
Ah, he's Rick Rude. I mean, you got to come with your music. I mean, everyone knows him, Rick Rude. But, I mean, there's some legal thing about using the music. So that's the issue. And I tell you, the only time I think WCW did a good job with music when someone already had good music is the Rick Rude music in WCW. I love that fucking Rick Rude music in WCW. If you haven't heard it, go look that up on YouTube. It's good. So Rick Rude says why he's there with the insurance policy, and it is constantly puns with insurance. He goes through every one of them. Like a good neighbor, Rick Rude is there. You're in good hands with Rick Rude. It's every fucking pun that there's ever been for insurance. And he has to go through all of it, and it's like, fuck, I'm fucking bored. But as we know, he won't be there very long, and he'll be on two shows at the same time. That's coming up. Bulldog and Owen talk about LOD and how they're going to kick their ass, and then we get a match between LOD and the Bulldog. The Hogs show up. Hog Farmer's there, and they hit Hawk with a bucket, so Owen and Bulldog win this. Now you get HBK yelling how the WWF fucked him over for a match for this evening. We've had, you know, HBK on the show every damn week.
Yo, yeah.
On fire.
Main event.
Yeah, so we get, after that, we get Brian Christopher versus Flash Funk. Flash Funk fucking clean.
Well, sort of.
Well, how about that fucking Christopher comes out with fucking Flash Funk music?
Oh, they fucked that up. I was going to, you know, I almost put that in as a clip, but you know, there's a, because this is back to the live Raw.
Yeah.
This week, there's a lot of stuff on it. I noticed that there's more this week. So I couldn't really do it. Mm. Couldn't waste it.
Yeah.
But there's a botch here, so, and the network doesn't get rid of it, so.
The Sultan versus Shamrock. Shamrock wins this one, and this is about the end of the fucking Sultan at this point. Now, here is a great interview with the Nation of Domination in the ring with Farouk, and he shits on Ahmed fucking Johnson. And this is the first time that Rocky talks about joining the Nation of Domination.
There with them, the newest member of the Nation of Domination, Rocky Maivia. The Nation of Domination.
Well, they're not scheduled in a match, to the best of my knowledge, anyway.
They weren't even scheduled to be here tonight, were they?
I think they're pointing to you, JR.
JR, they want you, thank goodness, and not the rest of us.
Yeah, we'll sacrifice JR. Go ahead.
Nation of Domination currently requesting an interview. An impromptu one with JR. Ahmed Johnson, excommunicated from the Nation recently, and Rocky joined just last week here on Raw.
You wanted to act, you called me out here. You people want to know what happened with Ahmed Johnson. Well, I'll tell you what happened with Ahmed Johnson. What it is what I've always known all along. Here is Ahmed Johnson under all that thick black skin of his is a white man that's dying to get out. He wants to be pretty like Shawn Michaels. He wants to be like Steve Austin. Well, I got news for you, Ahmed Johnson. You couldn't be white if they sandblasted your ass 20 times. And another thing, you better learn to stand on your own two feet. Because anything in this world that's worth getting is worth fighting for. And anybody that's weak like you does not have a place in the Nation. And speaking of two weak bucks, Savio Vega, Crush, here's two people I took literally out of the trash can, all right? They're the reason, I'm the reason that they're successful in the WWF. I made them. You want to challenge me to a street fight? Well, I got news for you. I'm the street. I was raised up in the street. I'm a product of the street. I brought the streets to you. And at Ground Zero in Louisville, I'm going to play Genie. I'm going to grant you one last wish. And this chapter will be the final one in the book. And you can title this chapter, How Farouk Kicked Our Asses at Ground Zero in Louisville. Now, Ahmed Johnson, I want you to take a look at this man right here. Here's a young man that came to the WWF trying to do things the American way. But what did you people do? No, you frowned on him. He came out here kissing babies, shaking hands, helping old ladies across the street. But he found out that it's not the way to do it. Anything in this world that's worth getting, Rocky Maivia found out that the nation stands for it and that it's fighting your way through. Tell him, Rocky.
I got three words. Die, Rocky, die. That's the gratitude I get from you pieces of crap. For all my blood, my sweat, and my tears. You know, hey, this isn't about the color of my skin. This is about respect. I became the youngest Intercontinental Champion in WWF history. And what did it get me? In arenas across the country, I heard chants of Rocky sucks. Well, Rocky Maivia is a lot of things, but sucks isn't one of them. You know, hey, that's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. And hey, let's talk about a racist faction. You want to talk about a group that's prejudiced? Let's talk about the DOA. The DOA epitomizes racism. But hey, you know what? The hell with the DOA. I want to make one point to all you jackass fans out there. Rocky Maivia and the new nation of domination lives, breathes, and dies respect. And we will earn respect by any means necessary.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Uh-oh.
No, wait a minute. Of domination? Punks, as far as we're concerned, you guys ain't much more than a nation of constipation. You want to talk about racism? Hell, we're just here in the World Wrestling Federation to kick ass and take names. So I've got to issue a little challenge to you punks. Meet us out here in the parking lot, man to man, fist to fist, with no commissioner, Sergeant Slaughter, to save your butts. If you're through running your mouths out there, bring it on in here if you ain't scared. Fuck.
I guess they're not afraid. They're gonna hook up out there in the parking lot somewhere. You have to come here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. After this commercial break, we'll bring you whatever happens, plus a car, Stone Cold Steve Austin, that exclusive interview that JR conducted earlier this morning.
You got way 245, 250, bam, you get planted in the mat, it happens. And for basically about 50 seconds there, I couldn't move my arms and my legs, and I didn't know if I ever would move again. It's pretty damn scary.
So that Austin one will be later. We will actually play that whole Austin thing. How about the fucking, I'm like, well, like you said, you think that it's done. Like, Ahmed's gone. You think this is the end of him. And I think you might be right.
No, I think he does come back, but I think this is the end of him, like, as a main event, because I think he's injured again.
Jesus Christ. I mean, they fucking shit on him fucking good. I'm like, hmm. After this, we get Pillman in a dress versus Jesse James. Now, as you know, Pillman has to win to get out of this fucking dress. And it's pretty funny because fucking he's going to beat the shit out of Jesse James. And then you have Goldust come in, just walk up to him and drop an elbow and disqualify. He drops one on Jesse James, so he wins the fucking match. And then this is what is said by Pillman on the mic afterwards.
Hello now. You've interfered in a Brian Pillman match. What is going on?
Well, just look at him in this pretty little frilly gold dress out there. I just wanted to see it one more week. Now next week he's gonna come out and wear another one. Look at how funny this is. Unbelievable. Look at it. Oh my gosh, tripping over the bottom rope.
Hey, Gold Dust!
What?
You think this is a big joke? You think it's funny for a world-class athlete like Brian Pillman to come out in front of all these sick freaks wearing a dress?
Yes, I do think it's funny.
You probably
like to get rid of me for good, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I sure would. Why don't you get
you'd
the hell out
like
of here?
You'd like to never, ever see me again, huh?
Yeah, why not? Why don't you get out of here?
Well, I'll tell you what. You promise to give me one more match. And if you beat me, I'll leave the WWF forever.
Uh-oh.
Forever?
Don't do it.
You're talking about forever, right?
Why not?
Forever.
Long time.
Well, show me the papers and let me sign.
No, Pillman, don't do it.
But if I beat you, then I get little Marlena as my personal assistant for 30 days, 24 hours a day.
Well, you really must think that I'm out of my mind to put my beautiful, lovely wife on the line for you in a match. You are stupid. You are an idiot. You're crazy.
Your guts? Have you lost your manhood? Just a few seconds ago, you were talking tough. Well, how is it, Marlene, or should I say Terry, as I know you?
You shut
is
your
he
mouth
really the
right
big
now.
Man
hey,
he
did you hear me?
Is?
I said, shut your mouth. There's no way in hell that I am wrestling you with her as a stipulation. No, that's a no-go.
Well,
can't blame him.
You may not be good at ever see me again, but let me let you in on a little secret. There's always a big part of me around you all the time because you know your little daughter, Dakota, she's mine. She's my love child. She's mine, and it was so good.
Okay, wait, wait, wait. We'll take
ooh,
that
yeah.
challenge.
It was good.
What is
right
this?
Here, baby.
The challenge. Did you hear me?
Marlena trying
we'll
to speak.
Take it.
Marlena trying to speak to Goldust, stating that, and also to Brian Pillman,
that
they're going to take the challenge. Goldust
we're
can't believe it.
The challenge.
Yeah.
Can't believe this. What?
We're taking a challenge for what? For what? What? What is wrong with you?
Misunderstanding here.
I wouldn't do that. Why do you want
Marlena
to do this?
Marlena has accepted the challenge, ladies and gentlemen.
What do you think?
You know, I realized watching this, and I hadn't realized this for like 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
Pillman never wins to get out of the dress.
No, he. Yeah, I mean, he only. Yeah, he doesn't. That was. You don't realize that?
Sorry.
Yeah. You don't
sorry,
realize
no.
that he ever did that? Because, I mean, we know he
no,
beats
I,
Goldust
no,
to fucking
I mean,
get
to,
out of the dress plus.
No, I mean, but he doesn't turn up to Ground Zero in the dress. That's he should have beat Goldust in the dress.
Oh, he should have had to be. Yes, you're right. He should have been in
but,
the dress for
but
Ground
But that only
Zero.
Occurred to me now. Like, unless there's a match next week, I don't remember him winning in a dress. So
no, he
fact,
never
like,
does.
This stipulation supersedes the last one because he got himself out of the dress by putting his career on the line. But I think that if they were to do this correctly, he should have beat Goldust in the dress. But I never noticed this before. I just realized it this time. I guess that's just one of the benefits of being older. So
yeah, and that's going to be great. So his stipulation is, if I win, I get little Marlena for 30 days, and that'll be at the pay-per-view. Vader versus the Patriot. This is very interesting because Brett shows up afterwards and starts beating the shit out of the Patriot. Patriot wins this match, but he starts beating the shit out of the Patriot and puts a flag over him. And Vader fucking tosses Brett the fuck out of the way and snaps the flag over his knee. He's like, get the fuck out of here. Which is great because that's the way it should be. It's like, yeah, he's a bad guy, but he's for America, so fuck off.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. So they fight, you know, all the hearts show up and all that kind of shit and start now jumping Vader.
Who's a babyface now with Paul Bear?
The next clip we have is, here's the interview with Austin and JR in Austin's hotel talking about his neck injury.
All right, let's take a look.
Well, Steve, I want to thank you for allowing us to come to your hotel room here. I know you've got a very busy and a very crucial 24-hour period here in Philadelphia, seeing a specialist tomorrow about your neck, but thanks for giving us a little of your time.
Well, you're welcome for the time, but if you're here to ask a bunch of questions, you might as well start asking them. Otherwise, I'll throw your ass out the window. And to cover the hotel room, this ain't a hotel room that I would stay at. You know, when I got hurt at SummerSlam and I got dumped on my head, no one called me and said, hey, Steve, you okay? And no one ever sent a card, nothing like that. Not that I would expect it, but at least I would, you know, maybe a call just to see what the hell's going on with the hottest damn wrestler in the world. But I got nothing. So the WWF sees fit to put me in a room like this with all this fruit and trash like this. You want a pear? You want an apple? You want a banana or something? Yeah, make yourself at home, man. Well, but if you've got questions to ask, go ahead and ask them, because I'm getting a little tired of you.
I'd like for you to address three things, if you don't mind.
Sure.
One is SummerSlam, your paralysis after being driven in the mat from the tombstone by Owen Hart. The second thing is what the doctors have told you. And thirdly and lastly, what you perceive your future to be here in the WWF.
Well, let's start with SummerSlam. The bottom line is I'm the Intercontinental Champion, right?
Right.
Well, that's that. But aside from that, at the end of the match, close to the end of the match, when Owen Hart dumped me on my head, you figure I weigh 245, 250, bam, you get planted in the mat, it happens. And for basically about 50 seconds, I couldn't move my arms and my legs, and I didn't know if I ever would move again. It's pretty damn scary. So, you know, I'm through with that, looking past that. I've watched that on tape probably 30 or 40 times, and it still sucks each time I see it. But I'm over it, I'm moving around, and I'm happy about that. But Owen Hart has got hell to pay. You get dumped on your head, you get in a position that I was put in, it ain't worth a damn. And I'm just a little bit pissed off. Well, I'm not a little bit pissed off, I'm a whole lot pissed off. But you know what they say, it's better to be pissed off than pissed on. But Owen Hart's got hell to pay when I come back. And you say you got another question. What's the other question?
Well, the doctors. You've seen several doctors.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of doctors, and one guy said maybe you should do something else. Well, Steve Austin doesn't do anything else. What I do is wrestle, and I'm the best wrestler in the world, and can't nobody tell me different. So I'm supposed to see the top guy, the top spine guy in the country tomorrow here in Philadelphia and see what he has to say. And it doesn't matter really what he says. The end result, the decision's mine. He can sit there and say, don't do this, try not to do this, whatever. But the bottom line is I'm the one that makes the decision. So I'll sit there, rethink things, and go from there. But regardless of what he says, Owen Hart's got hell to pay. You know, when you do something to when you do what he did to me, you know, if it's my last step in life, you can damn well bet he's going to get the shit kicked out of him one way or the other. And that's it. You know, I don't know when, where, how, or what, but it's going to happen. As far as my future, don't sit there and try to butt in because I'm talking, right? Okay, as far as my future goes, hell, like I said, I'll listen to what the doctor says, but I'm going to do what I want. The future for Steve Austin, as far as I'm concerned, is to put on his black trunks and black boots and show up. I'm going to take a few days off. I'll probably take a few weeks off because, you know, when you're sitting there at the house, you watch a film of getting paralyzed for 50 seconds. You watch that 30, 40 times. You know, you get a little depressed. So I drank a few cases of beer. I'll tell you exactly what I did. I just ride around in my four-wheeler, drink a few beers, and sit there and think about it. But I'm going to go see this doctor and see what he has to say. But as far as I'm concerned, the only way I can see my future is to be Stone Cold Steve Austin, continue on right through the top in the WWF, just like I've done since I've been here. All the damn bureaucratic red tape, all the bull that I've been through, it's taken me 8 years to get to where I'm at right now. If you think for one split second that a pile driver is going to stop me, it ain't going to happen. Did it slow me down? Damn right, but it ain't going to stop me. Ground zero, sub-zero, whatever hell you want to call it, in Louisville, I'll be there. Whether it's to hand the belt over, if I decide maybe it's time to hang it up, I'll do that. I don't think that's going to happen. I think when Ground Zero rolls around, you'll see Stone Cold. Don't wipe your nose. It pisses me off. You'll see Stone Cold Steve Austin, and don't smile. You'll see Stone Cold Steve Austin in a black pair of trunks and a black pair of boots, and I'll be out there whipping somebody's ass. I don't know what kind of match it is. It's some kind of little four tag teams or some kind of shit like that. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, well, I'll be there. And what gets me is that Steve Austin is in a new level now because, you know, if I was pissed off before, I'm a lot more pissed off now, and that makes me even more dangerous, not a liability, and that's the bottom line. You got anything else you want to say?
No, sir.
Then get the hell out.
Austin at his finest, as usual. as we know, Austin will be out for quite a while because of the whole neck injury thing. So that was the update on him. Finally got Taker and Mankind versus Triple H and Shawn Michaels. First time they're together now. The beginning of DX. Chair shot HBK to Undertaker for a disqualification. This is when you were allowed to do chair shots. And you see Undertaker blade himself as soon as he gets hit, too.
Yeah, Taker took some, like, sick chair shots over the next 5 years. Like, make sure you, like, pay attention to them, because he does take a lot more than most people.
Yeah, Michelle McCool might get dead soon, so we don't know. And that is the end of Raw. And this is the... this, I believe, is the go-home, then, for Ground Zero, actually. Because there's no more fucking... you know, there's no more shows.
No, it's weird. You got no promo for Ground Zero for like 2 weeks, and it's just going to come. Then in the next night, it's going to be a Raw.
Yeah,
it's a lot. That's a big gap for wrestling fans to remember because they're stupid as fuck. So
it's funny because Ground Zero is on the 7th of September, and the Go Home show is the 18th of fucking August.
This is what I mean. Wrestling fans are like dumb as fuck. They have to remember like the wrestling exists for 2 weeks without it being on.
Yeah, it's hard to do. So there is your back to the Monday Night War show.
You know, I can't remember this gap, and I can't remember what happened. I cannot remember what happened with the programming in the UK, because obviously ours is scheduled to just carry on. Like, we don't have a gap for the tennis. Yeah. So I wonder if we've just got repeats or Oh, I remember what we got. They did a whole thing for us. Oh my God, it was called like the Fab Four. And it was a documentary about the British Bulldog.
Really?
Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, and Bret Hart. And they shot it for the UK. And they sat down with all four of them. And you see these interviews that they keep bringing up like all the time. You know where Bret's like going, are we talking about Shawn Michaels and he's sitting in a chair and stuff?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was all made for what the UK so that we would have something on for those 2 weeks, and so that we could promote One Night Only.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, because Night Only comes on. I know that.
And it was a DVD, too. You got to find this thing. It must be on YouTube. It's called the Fab Four. Bulldog, Undertaker. And Undertaker's, like, sitting in a chair doing a shoot interview. Well, like, you know, a work shoot interview, like, for WWE.
We should let the people know that on the network, Ground Zero's missing.
Yeah, it's in Ground Zero. Just like it's missing like the towers.
True life. It's fucking gone. And we're like, what the fuck is this? So thank God I recorded everything, because I went down and fucking broke out the videotape and watched this fucking pay-per-view on fucking tape, which was rough.
Cav's going to do this pay-per-view on his own because I can't got no fucking
side. You can't do it. And I was like, oh, I remember this and that. You know, I'm like, fucking sat there and watched fucking video. I was like, well, you guys might not get the best sound quality because I'll hold my phone up to the TV to get the fucking clip.
You know, I bet I can still do the show without, from memory.
I wouldn't doubt it. When I tell you, when I describe what happened, you'll remember shit.
Well, no, it's a non-finish. And they're all just like beating up refs and each other at the end.
I couldn't even tell you what happened and I just fucking watched it. I got to look at my notes. But that's the usual. So, all right. Tune in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel for Back to the Monday Night Wars. I've been Cav. He's been Billy. We're out of time.